This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Tell Me More line editor Alicia Montgomery. With Mother's Day coming up, Tell Me More is offering our listeners a special online edition of our Parenting Roundtable. And today, we're speaking with two mothers who work behind the scenes at your favorite NPR news programs. Joining us is Devar Iran Ardalan. She's the senior producer of Weekend Edition here at NPR and a mother of four. Also with us is Madalika Sika. She's the executive producer of Morning Edition and a mother of two. Ladies, moms, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to start out with not a trick question, but a question borrowed from a New York Times reporter who asked President Obama at his 100 Days press conference what most surprised, enchanted, troubled, and humbled him during his time in the White House so far. And so I'm going to ask you, as a mother, what most surprised, enchanted, troubled, and humbled you about that job? Madalika?
About mothering my children or mothering Morning Edition?
Your children first.
Well, I guess the surprise is people tell it to you, but until it happens, you don't really believe it, that human being suddenly appears that becomes the most important thing in your life. Just like that. It's quite extraordinary. And it's scary. It's very scary. And it is also humbling to be responsible for these little bundles that rely on you completely and absolutely, with whom you are so closely attached and identified. But you also know, as time goes on, that you need to sort of remain a little bit of yourself, too.
Devar, what about you?
It's a lot easier to produce 4 hours of programming on the weekends than raising children. It's something that every day there's a new challenge. And I think that the best part of mothering is those moments when, out of the blue, your kids will run to you and give you a hug or give you a kiss. And it just warms your heart. And you know that no matter how difficult your day was, that you go back to the most important people in your lives and that your children are the ones that ground you. And no matter what I've been through in my life or what I go through during a day at NPR, that just sitting around the dinner table with them and telling them bedtime stories is what makes life worth it.
Oh, wow. You know, I've just been a mom for 18 months, and of that list, I mean, it's enchanting but humbling. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but, you know, we work here and the job here feels very, very important, and you don't get to where either you've gotten to without getting a lot of respect from the people you work with. And sometimes it's not expressed very nicely, but it's there. I mean, what is it like to come here and be in charge of people who have to do, in theory, what you say, and go home and people there who you gave birth to don't necessarily think you're that smart at all?
I like to quote the son of one of a very good friend of mine who also had a very senior position in her job, and he said to her at one point, "Mom, do you scream at the people at work the way you do like you do at us?" And she said, "I don't have to because they listened to me the first time." And I think, you know, that's standard. What happens inside your house is just so different from what happens outside. And your children see every facet of you during the course of a day. And in your workplace, your colleagues see one or two particular facets of you.
Devar, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Madalika. And I think that when I'm at work, I try to give my colleagues the creative space to be able to be productive and have the creativity to do what it is that we do best on the radio. But there's always that limit of having to put on a show. You know, there's an operational function in our day, which means we have deadlines, we have to do things to time. The lines aren't as focused when you're at home, because even though you try to have rituals, because they're very important, the kids depend on rituals, but at the same time, you can't really boss your kids around as much as you would like to. It doesn't always work.
As much as you can boss your hosts.
I'll tell Michelle Martin about that. Devar, I want to talk about a specific story that you did, and this was a piece called Loss and Aftermath that you did in 2001. And it was conversations with parents who lost children in the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. You and NPR host Jackie Leiden won a Gracie Award from American Women in Television and Radio for that piece. And we're just going to play a short clip of that right now.
I'm sure you're aware, and I don't mean to be indelicate at this point, that the perception frequently is that Palestinians send their children to the front lines of the conflict. And I want to say there may be some who do, but I'd like your reaction to that perception.
يعني هو تفكيرهم هذا نوع من الحقارة أنا بنظر إله أي واحد بتهم أي عربي أو أي إم فلسطينية
I sincerely don't understand how people would ever entertain the idea that we don't care about our kids and we could do something such of such a monstrous nature. I mean, we, like other people, like anybody, care about our kids. I mean, I'm a mother. This little boy grew inside me. He wanted to be one day a lawyer. And they must hate us somehow or think that, you know, we're less than animals and probably most absolutely dehumanize us to think that we could do anything like that.
In that story, you have what we call here at NPR driveway moment, where somebody hears a mother talking about losing a child, and you just have to stay in your car because you just need to hear the end of the story. And it's moments like that that leave people in tears. I think that what a lot of listeners don't realize is that when you're producing a story like that, you're hearing that tape over and over and over and over again, over a course sometimes of weeks and sometimes months. What's it like for you as a mother to have to be confronted with stories like that in your work, and how do you keep yourself from taking that stuff home with you?
I think everything that you hear in your headphones as a producer has a meaning and place, but then you have to be able to step back and sort of summarize this 10 hours of conversation into what you think is the most compelling. So it's a very daunting task, and it's a very big responsibility because they have trusted you with their story. And so I think just a recent example I wanted to give you with regards to a story that is in the news is Roxana Saberi's story. And she is the Iranian-American journalist who's in prison in Iran. And it happens that when Roxana's parents were coming through to Washington to renew their visas, they didn't have anywhere to stay. They didn't know anybody in Washington, and they stayed with me. And my 12-year-old was really intrigued by meeting Roxana's parents who were on their way to Iran to visit their daughter who was in prison. And it's one of those things where it doesn't happen often where you bring your stories home, but in that case, every night when my 12-year-old goes to bed, he asks me about Roxana, and he'll call me at work when I'm at work if he's heard an update in the news to sort of bring me, you know, up to speed with the story. So I think that it's inevitable that we'll take some of the stories that we do home, but it's also just part of the art of what we do is be able to be the caretakers of people's stories and present them as best that we can.
Madalika, have you ever had a story follow you home?
The stories that follow us home are the stories that you hear in the news all the time, which, you know, are almost background noise in some ways. And I think particularly the war in Iraq. I went to Kuwait and Qatar in the run-up to the war and the start of the war in 2003, and my kids were 4 and 6. And I was gone for about a month, and when I came back, the fighting was still happening. And, yeah, I had the radio on incessantly or the TV just to find out what was going on. And there was a point at which my daughter just turned the radio off. And she had had enough. And we have that battle about, you know, the news being on and around all the time. It's what I do. It's what I have to live through to provide the best service we can to our listeners, too. So in some sense, the news is never far away. But, you know, I got into this business to educate people and to enlighten people. And I think that my children are in that group, too. And informed citizenry starts early. And I think if kids can understand and engage in what's going on in the world, I don't think that's a bad thing.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to a special online edition of Tell Me More's Parenting Roundtable. I'm Tell Me More's line editor, Alicia Montgomery. For Mother's Day, we're speaking with moms who work behind the scenes here at NPR. Our guests are Morning Edition executive producer Madalika Sika and Devar Iran Ardalan, NPR's senior producer for Weekend Edition. Devar, you're a mother of four, as we've mentioned, and you're also an author. In your memoir, My Name is Iran, you talk about working as a journalist when you were pregnant with your first child at 19. And I'm twice the age you were then, and my son's about a year and a half old, and I'm still just barely getting everybody's teeth brushed and everybody's shoes on and out the door in the morning. And I'm wondering how you managed at such a young age.
Maybe it's a function of being a producer, is that I also try to produce my life. Sometimes I feel like I'm scripting my life, you know, and I will literally have in my mind sort of a running script of how the day is going to go. And, you know, at key moments, I'll send a text message to someone who's, you know, supposed to pick up my child. Or at key moments, I'll check in with my partner because I know he's having a really rough day, but he's volunteered to pick up my kids. And if you don't have a good support network, it's impossible. And I think organization and lists, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm huge with lists. You know, and I think early on, even when I was 19 or 20, that, you know, it was very detailed as to, you know, how many diapers I need to buy to get me through the week, to, you know, cooking on a Friday so that we had food, you know, throughout the weekend or week. And so many of these things are obvious, but at the same time, I think you have to have really open communication with your children. You have to be very upfront about your shortcomings. Mm-hmm. I think that my kids totally know that I know my flaws. You know, I know that I work too hard, you know, that I probably need to spend more time with my children. The whole idea of, you know, making sure you spend quality time with each child is obviously very important. And you know what it is that they love and enjoy about being with you, and you try to do more of that, but also not to set high expectations. Mm-hmm. I will never tell my children that this weekend we're going to do these 9 things together because I know I probably won't even do one of them. So just doing enough that you show them how much you love and care about them, but it's all very measured, and that's probably...
And I think kids are pretty resilient. I think mm-hmm. they get it. I think you just need to let them know what's going on. And, you know, my kids are fortunate. We have very good circumstances compared to a lot of kids, and I think intuitively they know that, even though it might not be explicitly expressed. And, you know, when things are crazy, they get that. They know during the primary season, if you're a journalist, then your life is busy and difficult and you're a little sleepless, and that's the way it is. And as long as there's an explanation for it, I think that they understand it. You just need to let them know. It's not a mystery. You have to demystify it a little, I think.
We're going to wrap up, and I'm just going to ask each of you, what is the best advice you've gotten from your mom or the other mothers around you about motherhood and balancing motherhood and your job and making sure that you have your priorities straight? Madalika?
I think you just have to be comfortable doing what works for you. It's not about what works for Devar or for you, Alicia, or for anyone else. I have to do what works for me, and that may not work for other people. You've just got to feel comfortable doing what you're doing, because you can't satisfy other people. You have to satisfy yourself and your family.
Okay. Devar, what about you?
I think in my case, I had extremely loving parents, but they weren't always as open with me as perhaps I would like. And so something that I decided to do with my children was be very open with them and constantly talk to them about how they're feeling and, you know, what's going on with their lives, and talking to them about sex and drugs very early on. And, you know, there is a downside to that, because then I think that in the case of my younger kids, it might be that they take advantage of me sometimes, because I've opened it up so much in terms of how you're feeling and what's going on today, that they'll actually turn around and put something in my face that's really direct and, you know, very honest. And I wonder, you know, why they're doing that. But it's because I opened the floodgates. It's worked for me so far, but we'll see. It's still too early to tell. My youngest is only 10.
Okay. Devar Aran Ardalan is the senior producer for Weekend Edition here at NPR, and Madalika Sika is the executive producer of Morning Edition. They both joined us here in our Washington studios. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.